slap you with the left, with the left. You a fake, so I'm gon' slap you with the left, with the left. I feel like I'm the last real nigga left, with the left. It's like I'm on an island by myself, with the left. Please don't make me slap you with the left, with the left. You a fake, so I'm gon' slap you with the left, with the left. I feel like I'm the last real nigga left, with the left. It's like I'm on
son of a bitch. What's up, people? Good googly moogly. Here I am. So, yesterday's experiment kind of crashed and burned now, didn't it? Oh, man. I'll tell you, I and me and Corin were just talking about this on Sunday in the Kyle and Corin podcast. Technology can blow me. In fact, no, that's actually too kind a thing to say. It would be an honor for technology if technology blew me. Technology just needs to go away. So the whole plan was, oh, I'm going to get this high quality audio and that's going to be on the live show and it'll be so much better than what we have now and blah, 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 blah. Well, so the way it was going to work is I'd do the show 11 to 12:30-ish. Then immediately, like right when I'm off air, boom, upload it, and then it runs. It's like a time delay, so it would run like at 1 o'clock. You guys know that's the time that we were going to do it. And it would air like a live show because it just was a live show, and I just wanted to have it with the better audio. Well, of course, of fucking course, the file size of a show that's the same goddamn length as every other goddamn show, it says, oh, it's too big. It's too big, you guys. This isn't okay. You guys, it's too big of a file. You can't upload this one. So I'm like, oh, fuck. I go, I talk to the Blog Talk Radio help, the support people, and they're like, oh, well, yeah, you see, the problem is that you're trying to upload it as a .wav, and it needs to be a .mp3. So if you upload it as an MP3 and not a wave, everything will be good. So I go, I'm like, oh, no, now I got to find a fucking converter program. I go, I find the converter program. The first one doesn't, the file size is too big to even convert. I'm like, go fuck your mother. And then I'm like, oh, I found one. I found one that works. So I do the thing. I compress it. I go back to upload it. And it's like, oh, the file is still too big. I'm like, motherfucker! So, and then eventually I find a way to get it where it's supposed to work, and then come to find out the way Blog Talk Radio functions, they don't allow a show to be uploaded and then ran as a live show. There's a way to do that, but when you try to do it that way, then the file size is even more limited, and then I definitely can't get an hour and 30 minutes in there. So anyway, I was fucking insanely pissed, and I should be insanely pissed because that's bullshit. Now, I know a lot of people are like, well, why don't you just do live stream? Like, live stream on YouTube is probably better. Yeah, I know, jackass. It's not, you can't do it with one dude. Like, there needs to be, I need to have probably 3-4 people at the time there. And that's just not logistically possible. That's not monetarily possible. Even with the money we raised, it's got to be. So anyway, we're back to this, and here we are, and I mean, it is what it is. What are you going to do? You still got the high-quality audio and video on YouTube, so maybe at some point what I'll do is I'll do one full show in video per week, and I'll do that like the Friday show or something, throw that up in full at the end of the week. But you'll still get this. I mean, I was talking to Lilith. I was bouncing ideas off Lilith. I'm like, all right, so either we go to a different platform or we stay exactly where we are right now or, you know, I forget some of the other ones I floated. But there were a few ideas. And she said, I don't know, man. People like the live show. They can deal with the lower quality audio for the live show. I said, all right, what are you going to do? Fuck it. it is what it is. Apparently, that's the direction that we're going in. So, by the way, as I've been talking to you this entire time, I've been getting all of the stories in order because I didn't do that beforehand because I was running late again today. I'm a mess. It's not tremendous. Sad. Sad. Okay. I believe I'm ready. Without further ado, let's get started. And it's going to be Donald Trump, of course, and what he's been up to recently. I got a weird shirt on today, I must say. My shirt is, I don't even know the color. It's like a orangey fucking, like, what's the right word for it? It's like a dull pumpkin-like orange. I don't know if I'm feeling it. You tell me. All right, let's get into it. President-elect Donald Trump is selecting neoconservative John Bolton as his number two in charge at the State Department. If you guys remember, it wasn't that long ago that I told you that if Donald Trump picks John Bolton for any position, he was just bullshitting when it came to the non-interventionist talk that he did during the election. And, I mean, we shouldn't really be all that surprised because what Trump did was like half non-interventionist talk and half massive interventionist talk. For every time he said, you know, oh, we're going to get out of there. We're going to get out of the Middle East, and then we're going to come here and rebuild the infrastructure, and we can spend the money here. For every time he said that, he also said, I'm going to bomb the shit out of them, talking about ISIS. He also said famously on Fox and Friends, infamously on Fox and Friends, we're going to take out their families. We're going to take out their families, meaning the terrorists' families, which is not only a hawkish thing to say, it is the most hawkish thing to say because you're advocating massacring civilians in the Middle East. We have a term for that, terrorism. Violence for a political purpose. And you're not, it's not in defense, it's innocent people. Okay, so you want to be a terrorist. So it's been Donald Trump, that's Donald Trump 101. Contradict yourself 9,000 times. It appears like with a pick like John Bolton for number two in charge at the State Department, it was all bullshit. All the non-interventionist talk, all the we're going to, you know, change things around, we're not going to do nation building. So for those of you who don't understand John Bolton, just know I say this every day, but I mean it every day. Now we have the worst of all possible picks. Because John Bolton, so he's worse than the Goldman Sachs goons that Trump picked. I mean, Trump picked the president of Goldman Sachs to run the budget. He picked another guy at Goldman Sachs to be the Treasury Secretary. So he put Goldman Sachs in charge of the economy. Horrific, horrific, horrific. Still not as bad as Bolton. He put thug Mike Pompeo in charge of the CIA. Horrific, horrific, horrific. Still not as bad as John Bolton. He wants Jeff Sessions as Attorney General. Jeff Sessions is a lunatic who, by the way, is named after Jefferson Davis. You can tell he comes from a wholesome family. And he says good people don't smoke marijuana. And he's called a white civil rights attorney a traitor to his race. So this guy's a loathsome guy, too. Bolton is still worse than Jeff Sessions. Bolton is worse than ExxonMobil CEO as Secretary of State. Bolton is worse than the fast food executive, Poozder, who is labor secretary. We have a labor secretary who doesn't believe in labor. He's against the minimum wage. He is for automation. He's a labor secretary, and he's like, yeah, let's fuck the workers. Let's go 100% towards automation. You're supposed to fight for the workers, you idiot. So this is a guy, again, sick time. I mean, you name it. But still, Bolton is worse than all of those people. So first of all, why? Well, Bolton said, he proclaimed it, I think he said it on a Fox News show, I want to hang Snowden from the tallest oak tree. Okay, now that's bad. But you can say, okay, well, Mike Pompeo made a similar argument, the CIA guy, so that can't be it. You're right, that's not it. He also was UN ambassador, but he literally expressed, while he was UN ambassador, that he doesn't believe in the UN. He doesn't want the US to be part of the UN. He wants us to pull out of the UN. Okay, that's fucking crazy. This is also a guy who, without question, is the most hawkish neocon. Worse than Donald Rumsfeld, worse than Dick Cheney. John Bolton makes Dick Cheney look like Noam Chomsky. So Bolton, to this day, vehemently defends the war in Iraq. there's only like 8 people left in the country who do that. Bill Kristol is one of them. Dick Cheney's another one. Maybe Rumsfeld and this guy. But it's even worse. He called when he was in the running, when everybody knew, oh, Bolton might become the next Secretary of State. He was going around doing interviews, and he called for war with Iran when he's in the middle of contention for Secretary of State. So defends Iraq to this day, pro-torture, wants to hang Snowden, and wants war with Iran today, still does. And now he's number two in command at the State Department. So you got ExxonMobil CEO. Yeah, I'm sure there's not going to be, you know, wars for oil or jacking of natural resources with the fucking Exxon CEO as Secretary of State, and then Bolton's right behind him. And they frame it, all the articles, they frame it as, yeah, I mean, Bolton's really going to be the one in charge because he's going to be the one who does all the managing of the department and, you know, he's the one that has more experience. The ExxonMobil CEO's got no experience with diplomacy. He's got no experience in government. He was with Exxon for 41 years. But, of course, he has oil deals with Russia. Right when – so Russia jacked Crimea. They annexed Crimea. And then in response to that, the U.S. put sanctions on them. Well, Exxon lost over $1 billion in business as a result of that because they have oil contracts with Russia. This guy got an award from Vladimir Putin in 2013. So, what, you think they're going to keep those sanctions in place? Fuck no, they're going to get rid of them super quick. Yemen, he's got, you know, contracts in Yemen. Ooh, I wonder if we're going to get more involved in the war in Yemen between Saudi Arabia and the Houthi rebels. Of course we are. Qatar, he's got a huge stake in the Qatari National Oil Company. So you got that guy. And Trump repeatedly said during the campaign trail, we're going to take the oil. We're going to take the oil. We should have taken the oil in Iraq. We should have taken it. So advocating doing war crimes on live national TV, as Trump did repeatedly. It's amazing. It's fucking amazing. And now you got that guy and the most hawkish person in America as the number two. Okay, if you had all of John Bolton's beliefs laid out and you polled the American people, he would be the least popular person in the United States of America because he's never met a war he doesn't like. He loves every single goddamn war. He wants to invade fucking everywhere. So this is terrible, man. Trump is just this giant malleable piece of clay, and he's not going to listen to the people. He's going to listen to the advisors in the room with him, and he's surrounding himself with the most establishment pricks imaginable. I told you guys at the beginning, Donald Trump, you're going to get one of two things. You're either going to get the most establishment candidate because he's going to realize he's in over his head, and he's just going to rely on everybody around him, and he's going to pick establishment people. Or you're going to get the authoritarian wild card who disregards everybody and everything and does whatever he wants off every little impulse he has. It appears like you're getting actually a mix of both, but you're definitely getting the establishment angle too because he's picked so many generals for different positions because he feels, oh, I'll be comfy if I have the generals around me. I'll just let them run everything. I'll let John Bolton, the top neocon who was in government forever and he made fucking horrible decisions, but he has experience, so I'll have him around me. You know, ExxonMobil, he's not part of the establishment, right? Goldman Sachs, they're not part of the establishment, right? No, of course they are. They're the heart of the goddamn establishment. So he's putting the establishment in charge. He's putting the military-industrial complex and the establishment in fucking charge. So that's the most establishment you could ever be, but sprinkled on top of that is a thin crust of authoritarianism with all of this, you know, maybe we should ban burning the flag. Maybe we should do it. Maybe we should get a year in jail. Maybe we should get a giant fine. Maybe that should happen. Tremendous. Believe me. Let me just tell you. It's going to be a bad 4 years. I told you, John Bolton in any government position is a disaster. Now we know this isn't just any. He's number two in charge at the State Department. Pucker your buttholes. It's going to get rough. Okay. Fucking John Bolton, man. Oh, matter of fact, I forgot this giant part about Bolton. Let me get into it. Just one more thing on John Bolton. He's also massively corrupt. I mean, honestly, even if he wasn't corrupt, he would still be the worst pick ever because of his actual policy beliefs. But listen to this. This is from Huffington Post. They say, Bolton launched the John Bolton Super PAC in 2013, which some speculated was a way to promote himself ahead of a potential 2016 presidential run. That run never materialized, but the PAC, which could raise an unlimited amount of money, enabled Bolton to bring in huge contributions from wealthy benefactors while lending his hawkish credentials to congressional candidates. In the 2014 and 2016 election cycles, Bolton raised $11.3 million and spent $5.6 million on independent expenditures in support of Republican candidates. Three of the candidates whom Bolton Super PAC boosted, Senators Tom Tillis, Republican of North Carolina, Tom Cotton, Republican of Arkansas, and Richard Burr, Republican of North Carolina, could now be in a position to vote for his confirmation as Deputy Secretary of State. Oh, boy. So do you get that one? He got a super PAC, started funding these candidates, and now these candidates might be in a position to vote him up or down. We've gotten to the point where the corruption is so mainstream and so normalized in American society that nobody even blinks at it. Like, again, Trump just put two Goldman Sachs people in top government positions as he railed against Hillary Clinton for being the swamp because she's buddy-buddy with Goldman Sachs. Like, do you not see how that breaks down, that logic? But they'll always flip it. Well, I don't know what you mean. These guys are competent in their position. That's why I picked them. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. So what? I gave these people money to run, and now they're going to vote me up or down. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, there's a problem there. There's no problem there. I know them. They know me. It is what it is. No big deal. No, that's the exact kind of corruption and conflict of interest that you're supposed to have laws against in government, and you're supposed to never allow that or one-tenth of that. But no. What a sick, sick system that's rotting from within, and we're all witnessing it right now. Okay. Next. So Donald Trump, in a pretty random tweet, decided to rip defense contractors, and I have to admit, the fallout was awesome. So here's what he said. The F-35 program and cost is out of control. Billions of dollars can and will be saved on military and other purchases after January 20th. So Mediaite explains what happened here. They say, in early trading, Lockheed Martin saw a 4% drop in its share price. By the end of the day, the company had recovered somewhat, but not all the way, finishing down nearly 2.5% and 6.42 per share. According to CNBC, the initial market value hit of the tweet was roughly $4 billion. Oh, that is awesome. That's the best thing I've ever heard. Okay, so this is another one of those tests as to whether or not you're a partisan hack bitch or if you're actually, you know, a good liberal. Because just because it's Trump doesn't mean everything he's ever done is bad, doesn't mean, you know, by definition he's wrong. So when he randomly decides to take a shot at defense contractors, which I would have never expected from him, but he randomly decided to do it, okay. And the effects are Lockheed Martin stock plummets. By the way, Boeing stock also went down. He tweeted against Boeing a while back, like they had an Air Force One deal, and he said it cost too much money, so he's going to cancel the deal. Their stock tanked too. The saddest thing I've ever seen is liberals going out there, and all of a sudden, oh, we're bleeding heart liberals, and we care so much about Boeing and Lockheed Martin's stock price. I got news for you. That ain't liberal, bitch. Because if Bernie Sanders was president, and Bernie Sanders said, we're going to cancel the Air Force One order, it's too expensive, and we don't need it, liberals would be like, oh, yes, yes. Oh, and the stock price got hit, too. Oh, my God, let me masturbate. And they would have been right to respond like that. You'd be right to be happy about this. The F-35 program is a fucking national disgrace. We've spent over $1 trillion, for fuck's sake. Over $1 trillion on a plane that at one point, I kid you not, did not even fly. And the idea that, like, well, we needed a new generation of the F-35 because the old one wasn't cutting it. Right, because the Air Force that ISIS has is so high-tech. No, it's just a giant fucking welfare program for defense contractors. That's all it is. That's all it is. It's our government being bought by defense contractors, so they keep giving them contracts, even when we don't fucking need this shit anymore, and we're filled to the brim with machines of war. I mean, we have how many thousands of tanks just sitting in the desert in Nevada? I mean, and we're all, hey, build more tanks for us? We'd really appreciate that. We need more tanks, we need more fighter jets, we need more drones, we need everything. But you don't need everything. We already spend more on military than the next 8 countries combined. And most of them are our goddamn allies. So we have that. Over 50% of our discretionary budget is military spending. The first place you cut should be military, and the first people who should feel the pain is fucking Lockheed Martin and Boeing. So Trump, randomly, because he's a loose cannon sometimes, tweeted against them, and their stock price tanked. Good! I'm fucking happy about that. Now, let me be clear. The wild card angle of what he's doing, yes, it can be very, very questionable and at times very dangerous and bad, because if you have him tweeting against, you know, innocent people who didn't do anything wrong, which as he's done before, and then they suffer consequences, well, that's a problem. You know, you could argue a lot of his anti-Muslim rhetoric, for example, has led to that spike in anti-Muslim attacks since he's gotten elected. You know, there were over 900 hate incidents, like, within a few weeks of him getting elected. So, yeah, his loose cannon, off-the-cuff, nonsense talk sometimes can be bad and dangerous. But forgive me if I don't shed a tear if he randomly happens to hit a good target with that nonsense talk. And if the target is fucking Boeing, if the target is Lockheed Martin, tweet all day, son. Tank that goddamn stock. These motherfuckers are a problem. The first place I would cut if I was president is back to Lockheed Martin and Boeing, who've been biggest welfare queens imaginable. They've been looting the treasury since their inception. So, yeah, I like this. I like this a lot. So this is one area where I'm going to give credit to Donald Trump. Please, tweet against Lockheed Martin all day long. If that's all you do as president and you do nothing else, I will call you a good president at the end of 4 years. Fuck Lockheed Martin. Fuck him with a trillion demon dicks from hell. Saddest thing ever is watching liberals defend Lockheed Martin. Glenn Greenwald tweeted that. Leave Lockheed stock alone. He was obviously being tongue-in-cheek and mocking other liberals who do that too, who are trying to defend Lockheed Martin. Don't defend Lockheed Martin. Don't fucking defend Lockheed Martin. And Trump is right. That program needs to be fucking cut. They spend over $1 trillion on a plane that we don't even have an existential threat right now. Okay, I'm done. I'm done here. I'm done. All right. Let's move along. Let's go to the war criminals in our government. We have some news about the war criminals in our government. Reuters explains here, President Barack Obama's administration has decided to include a massive report on the CIA's use of waterboarding and other enhanced interrogation techniques, the euphemism, just say torture, you pricks, in his presidential papers, meaning it may eventually be declassified. The White House wrote to Senators Richard Burr and Dianne Feinstein, the Republican chairman and ranking Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee on December 9th, informing them of its decision. Feinstein, who released the letter on Monday, said Obama had refused to declassify the report at this time, but she was pleased it would go into his archive, meaning it would one day be available for declassification. So I get the sense that a lot of people were giving Obama credit for this as if, like, it's brave or bold. All he's saying is, okay, this thing that happened and this giant report that we did on these factual circumstances that our government did, we will eventually allow the American people to learn about what their government did and what their government, in many cases, is still doing. I don't file that under brave. I file that under duh. What I file under cowardly is not releasing it right now. So that's what he said. He's like, X-nay on the release gay right now. That ain't happening. Don't do that. But, yeah, I'll put it in my file so that eventually it gets declassified years after I'm out of office. No. I'm not giving you credit for this. Because you know what would have gotten you credit, President Obama, on the issue of torture? Well, let me run through the list. Number one, if you shut down Guantanamo. But I can't, the Republicans are blocking me from doing it. No, they're not. Now, well, technically, they are. But here's what you do. You go, oh, executive order, shut down. Shut it down right now. You're going, wait, you can't do that. No, wrong. What couldn't have been done, but was done, was setting it up in the first place. You do understand that's an extrajudicial prison. You do get that, right? So you do understand the entire existence of it is unconstitutional, right? So that which can be set up in an unconstitutional, extrajudicial way can be shut down in the same goddamn way. So, like Soulja Boy said, watch me do it. Is that Soulja Boy? I think that's Soulja Boy. But that's what I do. I shut it down. Executive order, shut it down. And then when they start barking about it, the Republicans, I go, take me to court. Take me to court. I want you to take me to court. I want to get us both on the record. I want you to make an argument in court. We're in favor of being unconstitutional and holding people without due process and habeas corpus and torturing people. Are we really making this argument in the historical record right now? I want you on record. That's what I want. I want you on record as saying that. And I will be on the side of the Constitution. I will be on the side of due process and habeas corpus. And I will win this battle so overwhelmingly, I will be viewed as a hero in history because I would be if I did this. So, yes, you shut it down. So, first thing I'd give him credit for, if he actually did it, is to shut down Guantanamo Bay. He hasn't done that. The other thing on torture that I would give him credit for is if you prosecuted people. Look, I'm a reasonable dude. I would be happy if you prosecuted anybody. Anybody. A low-level dude, a middle management dude, one person in the Bush administration. Fucking anybody. Instead, what did he say? We don't look backwards in this administration. We look forwards. Yeah, by that logic, you would go after no criminals, because every crime, by definition, happened in the past. We don't look backwards. Okay, so we got a serial killer that killed a bunch of people, and we know he killed a bunch of people, and we have the evidence, but we don't look backwards. We look forwards. As if that's brave, and as if that's like, oh, yeah, we're doing the reasonable thing here. That's not reasonable. That is unreasonable. So if you prosecuted anybody for torture, if you shut down Gitmo, but you didn't do it, all you did was you had some little parts of the torture report released. And of those little parts, there were some bombshells. But now I'm starting to think, well, whatever they're hiding must still be worse, because Obama doesn't even want to release it right now. So what are you hiding? We already know there was hypothermia torture, which, by the way, killed a guy who was totally innocent. They'd pour cold water on you, leave you in a cold cell, and come back in the morning. A guy literally died from that. They did mock burials. They did loud music torture. They did sleep deprivation. They did waterboarding. Of course, we know that one. They did anal rape torture because they just had anal feeding. They'd shove a tube up your ass and pump food up there. And they spoke to doctors, and doctors were like, that's not like a thing, because they tried to frame it as, oh, that's a common thing. It happens in like hospitals all the time. Doctors were like, huh? No. So all these different forms of torture, and they admit that at least 20% of the people we tortured, totally innocent. Totally innocent. Because we got a lot of the people at Guantanamo because we cut deals with warlords in Afghanistan and Pakistan to send the Bush administration at the time Al-Qaeda people. They didn't actually get Al-Qaeda people. They rounded up their enemies and sent them to the U.S. So Obama's supposed to get credit. I'm going to allow you to maybe see this at some point decades in the future. Oh, you liberal lion, you! That's what you are. You're a fucking liberal lion. God damn it, man. Release all of it right now and prosecute them. Prosecute them. We have so much evidence. But no. Why? Because when we do it, it's okay because, wait for it, here it comes. We meant well. Intent. Oh, we meant so well. When we were anally raping that guy with a tube and then shoving food up his ass, liquefied food up his ass, when we gave somebody hypothermia torture and they died in that cell, we meant well. We did it with the purest of intentions, so everything's okay. By the way, even if I grant that, which I don't, but even if I grant that, oh, you meant well, there's still a term for what we did, and it's still a crime. The idea that, like, well, intentions, you know, it absolves all. No, that's why, like, for example, when somebody dies, there's murder charges and different degrees and levels of murder, but there's also manslaughter, where the intent doesn't necessarily have to be there. But if you killed somebody, it's still a crime, and you're still going to go to jail. But with our government, when it's the government committing the crime, it's not a crime! It's not a crime! When we do it, it's never a crime. When they do it, they're terrorists. They're a rogue state. They're evil. They're the worst imaginable. So, yeah, I don't know. It's so gross that he's getting, like, credit for this. Like, oh, look at this liberal lion. He's eventually going to let us know what our government did with our money in our name. How about you let us know right now, and how about you reverse all the wrongs that have been done, and then I'll give you credit. But until that day, this low fucking bar has got to end. Okay. It's time for a break. Time for a break. All right, when we come back, I got Charles Krauthammer called out some Democratic hypocrisy. We'll talk about that. Then we have Benjamin Netanyahu is going to try to push Donald Trump into not continuing with the Iran deal. And that should annoy you to no end. So we'll talk about all that and much more. Stay right there.
Baby, I'm playing on you tonight. Hunt you down, eat you alive. Just like animals, animals, like animals grow. Did you think that you can hide? I can smell your scent alive. Just like animals, animals, like animals grow. Baby, I'm so what you try to deny me? It's like we can't stop, we're enemies. But we get a little bit of it inside of you. You like
so one bone drop you with the left, the left. I feel like I'm the lecturer, nigga, left, the left. It's like I'm on an island.
Son of a bitch. All right, people.
Please don't make me show you with the left.
What's the date? The 13th. Okay. I gotta know stuff like that right now because of Christmas. Usually, I don't fucking know what the actual date is, but gotta know. Getting close to that time. All right, now let's go to Charles Krauthammer and talk a little bit about. I got a lot to say about this clip. It's a short clip, but there's many angles to it. Charles Krauthammer on Fox News called out Democratic hypocrisy on the issue of Russia. Let's check it out.
Democrats go after Tillerson on the Russia tie. It will be a delightful festival of hypocrisy. The Russians for 20 years have been as soft on the Russians as you can come. And then all of a sudden they have discovered that the Russians are not our friends. So this is quite a flip-flop. The famous moment all of us remember, Obama mocking Romney for saying that the Russians are a big threat. Now all of a sudden they're becoming cold warriors. I don't think it's going to look very good.
Okay, so there's a lot of truth in what he's saying. There was this report from the CIA that came out over the weekend, and the argument was,
it's been proven now. We know for sure that Russia hacked the election in order to try to get Donald Trump elected. It's what happened.
And a lot of Democratic partisans took that and they ran with it. Like, CIA said it. That's the argument now? Okay, so first of all, how soon we forget that when the government says something, it is not by definition true. Remember the Iraq war thing? I mean, the government was saying, Saddam, he did 9-11. Hey, it was weapons of mass destruction. He did it. Well, it turns out that wasn't true. That was complete and utter bullshit. So now all of a sudden, when it's something that suits the narrative that the partisan Democrats want to hear, all of a sudden, all the skepticism, it's totally out the window. What do you mean? The CIA says it. It must be true. We need to make sure we use a fine-tooth comb for all the claims made by the government, and also at the same time, uncritically accept the idea that Russia hacked the election for Donald Trump. Now, by the way, what evidence have they presented? None. There's no evidence of that. There's no evidence whatsoever. The articles I read on this, I was waiting, man. I went through the articles, and I'm waiting to see, like, okay, where's the smoking gun? Where's your point? It never came. It was just anonymous official at the CIA says this and that. The CIA has zero credibility. Look, I'm not saying that it's 100% untrue that Russia did it. All I'm saying is there's no evidence, and you got to give me evidence before I believe it. So, I mean, the CIA, this is an agency that's responsible for organizing death squads around the world. They're an agency that's responsible for propping up fascist puppets that serve U.S. corporations. I mean, this is what their whole existence is about. The CIA, intimately involved in torture. And now we're going to say, well, they're trustworthy, even though they fucking tortured and got away with it. No, so there's no reason to just accept it uncritically, but now a lot of Democrats are accepting it. And Krauthammer's right that you go back and you listen to the Democratic rhetoric on the issue of Russia in 2012, and very simply, they were pro-peace. They were like, okay, look, we know that Putin's a bad guy, and we understand that, but we got to be reasonable about this, and we have to, you know, we could do sanctions. So if he does something negative, do sanctions against him. Try to force him to the table to have a conversation and work stuff out. But they certainly were not in favor of escalating, and they certainly were not in favor of marching towards World War III. Well, now the roles have reversed. Now you have the Democrats who are so hawkish on Russia all of a sudden because they think that Vladimir Putin hacked the election to help Donald Trump. So, you know, if Trump were to get, like, an unprecedented peace deal with Russia, I think the Democrats would come out against it. I mean, but we're against peace. We're against peace. Keith Olbermann released a goofy-ass clip the other day. It's all over Twitter, where he said that Russia basically declared war on the U.S. He said, it's war! It's war! Based on what, Keith? Unfounded CIA claims with no evidence that now you're accepting uncritically because you don't like Trump? So, yeah, there's a lot of fucking hypocrisy in this. Now, where Krauthammer's wrong is in two ways. Number one, the hypocrisy works both ways, dipshit. So the Republicans
We're, oh, Russia, Russia. Oh, let me put my balls on the table and show them who's boss here. You know, we're hawkish on Russia. Fuck Russia. We're coming after Russia. Fuck them.
And then now that, it, you know, it appears like Trump had, or some people around Trump had business relationships with Vladimir Putin, and he's been using rhetoric on Syria that is more on the side of Russia. So now all of a sudden it's like, oh, Russia.
Not all that bad, know what I'm saying?
So you guys have hypocrisy too. The only Republicans who are really not raging hypocrites on this, I would argue, are Lindsey Graham and John McCain and maybe one or two others who are actually consistent in their hatred of Russia. By the way, I disagree with them on both counts. Like, I'm not in favor of a hawkish approach against Russia like they are, but at least, point is, at least they were consistent. They said it under Romney, they're saying it under Trump. They're saying Trump is too soft on Russia, so on and so forth. Now, on the Democratic side, again, most of them have just gone full hypocrite, and they've gone, Russia, I mean, what? This isn't the Cold War anymore, Mitt, like, you know, Obama was implying against Mitt Romney in the 2012 debate. Now they're like, this is the Cold War again! This is the Cold War again, and they declared war on us! This is so bad! So, yes, hypocrisy cuts both ways. He's only acknowledging it on the Democratic side. But, final point in why he's wrong about this is, He references Rex Tillerson, the Trump's pick for Secretary of State, as that would be the sign of Democratic hypocrisy. No, no. We oppose Rex Tillerson because Rex Tillerson is fucking ExxonMobil CEO, you dipshit. He's acting like, oh, the reason why Dems oppose him is because he had a business relationship with Russia and, like, he would do more peace with Russia. No. That's not why we oppose him. Maybe there are some Democrats who, you know, focus on that as the reason why they oppose him, that, oh, he's close with Russia. But there are other reasons, more compelling reasons, bigger reasons to oppose Rex Tillerson. Like, I don't know, he's fucking ExxonMobil CEO, so we're going to probably drag our feet more and more on climate change. The fact that he's got intimate ties, obviously, to oil companies, so he'll probably care about their profits in the midst of trying to control foreign policy. The fact that Donald Trump said, I want to take the oil, take the oil, take the oil, for the past five fucking years. So obviously you're going to have, he's picking a CEO of an oil company to be Secretary of State. I wonder if they're going to try to take even more oil around the world. This guy's got ties to Yemen. I think we're going to get more involved and embedded in the crisis in Yemen, the war in Yemen. This guy's involved with the Qatar. I mean, ExxonMobil has close ties to the Qatari national oil company. Well, not company, it's... Well, I guess it is a company, but it's the government. The government has the oil there, and he has close ties with them. So, I mean, that's why we're against him. We're against him for the fact that ExxonMobil in 40, 50, probably more than that countries, they have oil contracts. And he's going to make foreign policy based off oil, which is flat out going full-scale oligarchy, kleptocracy, plutocracy, forget your fucking democracy. I mean, this is madness. This is unlike anything we've ever seen before. So, no, Charles, it's not that the Democrats are against Rex Tillerson because Rex Tillerson is kinder to Russia. No, it's the other 9,612 reasons, which are more important, which are legitimate reasons to oppose Rex Tillerson. So, at the end of the day, this really is a hacky argument from Krauthammer, even though there's a grain of truth about Democratic hypocrisy on the issue of Russia. Okay, now, let's continue here. Go to Benjamin Netanyahu. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu spoke to CBS, and he told them that he's ready to dismantle the Iran deal. Nobody should really be surprised by that because he's Benjamin Netanyahu. He wanted to dismantle the deal from day one. He never wanted the deal in the first place. In fact, there was a period where he, like, gave Obama the cold shoulder over the deal because he's a child. So, but now he's being more explicit about it and he's being more upfront about it. And there's a bunch of aspects of this that piss me off. So first of all, we just gave Israel $38 billion. Now, if you don't understand how politics functions, that money was
specifically for buying his silence on the Iran deal. So it was $38 billion, most of it as military aid, and of course they're going to take that and turn right around, and they already did, and expand settlements and crack down even more on the Palestinians and do further occupation and apartheid. But think about that for a second. Obama gives them $38 billion. That's our money, tax dollars. I wouldn't have given it to them either way. But he gave them the money to buy their silence on the Iran deal, to still be tepidly in support of it. And then the second he gets the opportunity with now Trump coming into power, he's like, yeah, we're done with it. All right, so give back the money, bitch. Do you not understand the way the deal works? That's the way the deal works. We're giving you the money, and then you accept the Iran deal. But he's taking the money and saying, no, I'm not going to accept the Iran deal. We were warning Obama all along. By the way, you know how I would have handled that if I was president? I would have done the Iran deal, all credit to Obama and Kerry for doing it, because I really do think it was a fantastic deal. But then I would have turned around, and when Netanyahu started throwing his little bitch temper tantrum, I would have said, you should be thanking me. We just cut off their path to a nuke, and now all they get in return is their own money back. That's it. We cut off their path to a nuke. We're going to give them their own money back, which we fucking kidnapped. And problem solved. So the IAEA is going to live up their ass, the International Atomic Energy Agency. They're going to regulate them out the wazoo. And you're complaining why? You're complaining, and here's the main point, because Netanyahu ultimately wants war with Iran. And now he's got somebody in America that may facilitate that. Now he has a president who may be fine with that. And I think he's going to push him in that direction. And it's a scary thing because the moderates in Iran were hanging on for dear life. Hassan Rouhani was hanging on for dear life. He had to pull every political trick in the book to pull the wool over the eyes of the Grand Ayatollah to get this deal through. And the Grand Ayatollah was trying to sabotage it every step of the way. Now it appears like the straw has finally broken the camel's back. Why? For multiple reasons, but also because the fucking dumbass Senate here in the U.S. decided to re-up sanctions. In the middle of a deal where every report on the deal said Iran was following through. They were holding up their end of the bargain. Our only end of the bargain? Don't renew sanctions and give them back their own money. They took one of the two things we had to do, and they said, yeah, fuck it, renew the sanctions. And then they had the nerve to turn around and say, it's cool, it's just symbolic. That's even worse. So you're blowing up the deal over a symbolic fuck you. So, of course, that made the Grand Ayatollah do a victory lap and say, I fucking told you you can't trust the stupid Americans. I fucking told you. And Hassan Rouhani looks like an idiot because he went out on a limb to do the deal. And then now it's backfiring because we re-upped the sanctions. And now Netanyahu's saying, yeah, fuck the deal too. And then he said, I have five alternatives to the Iran deal for Trump. Five alternatives. The Iran deal, look, that deal is literally everything the U.S. could have hoped for. Guarantee of no nukes, endless regulation, and on top of that, we just give them their money. That's it. That's it. That's it. He's like, I got five alternatives. Five alternatives that are what? More punitive, more hawkish, that Iran would never go for. The guy wants war. I'm saying it like it's like, oh, let me give you my opinion as to what Netanyahu wants. No, there were endless reports that during Obama's time in office, Netanyahu was ready to go. He's ready to launch a war. And people in his cabinet had to talk him out of it. We may be going to war with Iran very soon. Israel might go to war with Iran, drag the United States into it, and Benjamin Netanyahu would play Donald Trump, you know, like the puppet he is. He'd have him dancing on the strings. Remember, in the primary, Trump went from, we got to try to get a deal and we got to try to, you know, be even-handed. He went from that position to the second people told him, hey, you can't say that in America, bitch. You got to be 100% pro-Israel. All of a sudden, he says he's in favor of Israel expanding settlements. So he's against the Iran deal, in favor of Israel expanding settlements. The deal looks like it's going to collapse anyway because of what Congress did and because of the fact that the hardliners are now taking back over in Iran. We're in for a wild ride, man. We're in for a wild ride. And what's crazy is seemingly the right wing in every country seems to want war. The right wing in Iran, led by the Grand Ayatollah, they want war. The right wing in Israel, Likud, and the further right wing parties, Jewish Home Party, they want war. The right wing in America, they want war. Tom Cotton and Louis Gohmert and the rest of them said, yeah, we should go to war. John Bolton, yeah, let's do a war with Iran right now. And Trump may be led right into it. Netanyahu's wanted to do this for a long time. Now it looks like he can do it. And he's spitting our eye, too, in the process because he took $38 billion in military aid under the condition you're going to support the Iran deal, right? You're going to I'm buying your silence, and you're going to be okay with it. Took the money anyway, turned around on a dime and said, fuck that deal. So I hope the Democrats learned their goddamn lesson, but they didn't learn their lesson. Of course they didn't learn their lesson. At this point, Israel needs tough love, and we need to force them to the table to get a two-state deal, and we need to cut off their aid if they don't, and lift our veto at the UN and give the Palestine a state if they don't. Say, look, it's very simple. I'm going to make it very simple for you. All your aid is going to get cut off, and we're going to lift our veto at the UN unless you sit down and make a reasonable deal. But that's not what's happening. What we're doing is buying their silence on a peace deal that they should love and thank us for. And then not even that, because now he's turning around and going against it. So Netanyahu wants war. The Republicans in the U.S. want war. The right wing in Iran wants war. And it appears like all the peacemakers, our attempts have collapsed here for various reasons. But the hardline nature of these fools is the number one thing. Okay. Now we move along and we go to Harry Reid. Harry Reid spoke to the Huffington Post and he weighed in on the issue of fake news, which is something that people have been talking a lot about recently. And here's what he said. Take Facebook, for example. They're doing well and making a lot of dough. Maybe they can forego a few advertisements and spend a little more time looking at some of the junk that comes out on their sites. Maybe it is a slippery slope, but let's start going down the slope. Right now, we've done nothing. I've never heard anybody be that direct about it. Sure, if we control fake news, it's a slippery slope. But I want to go right down that slope. Let's go right down that slope. We haven't done anything. We got to do something. Counterpoint, no, you don't. I'm sick of this, man. The Democrats have completely and utterly collapsed, and they've lost their way. The Democrats are so ineffectual and bad right now that even though Donald Trump is appointing the swamp in his administration, I still think he's the favorite to win in 2020. Because look at this. This is what you're going to focus on. This is all tied into the deflections and the rationalizations as to why Hillary Clinton lost. That's the whole point here. So think about that. You have somebody who lost because they were a bad candidate. Now they've blamed it on James Comey, the FBI head. They blamed it on Vladimir Putin. They blamed it on the voters themselves. And now they blame it on fake news. And now they're saying, we need to regulate fake news. Okay, there's this thing called the First Amendment. There's this thing called the Constitution. There's this thing called free speech and a free press. You can't regulate it. You shouldn't want to regulate it. Now, by the way, that doesn't mean that there aren't actually harmful stories that are fake. Of course there are. But the downside of regulating it is worse than the occasional story that's fake that blows up. Because we know what it looks like when you regulate it. Look at any police state on the planet. Look at fucking China. We covered the story the other day. It's over a $70,000 fine if you do fake news. Fake news being defined as anything that dissents from the government's position. We can't have that in the United States of America. But people are still trying to push us in that direction. And by the way, when they say fake news, you do understand what they're saying, right? There's no clear definition of it. So what they mean is anything that offends my sensibilities of what is true. So, for example, Hillary Clinton's team went out there when the WikiLeaks information came out, and we saw a lot of what they were saying behind the scenes. And her team made the argument, a lot of this is, these are fakes. These aren't real. The WikiLeaks stuff is fake. That's a fake news story because they were real. So, you know, what, are you going to crack down on yourself? No, you're not, because what you mean is any story that pushes our narrative that we like is not fake. Any story that dissents is fake. So you, like, this is ridiculous, man. The whole Bernie bro narrative was fake. Should you crack down on yourself because you pushed that narrative? Should there be laws against you? Now, don't get me wrong. It was a smear job, and I'm going to argue against the smear job till the fucking cows come home. I'm not going to pass a law saying that you can't come up with shitty arguments. People use shitty arguments all the time. There shouldn't be a law against it. There shouldn't be government regulation of, you should be allowed to say that, you shouldn't be allowed to say that. That's fucking crazy. The Iraq War, God damn it, the Iraq War was all based on fake news. But when they talk about it, they're not even referencing that. How lost are these people? How lost is Harry Reid? I care so deeply about fake news, but I'm not referencing the Iraq War, which made us, we invaded a country that didn't attack us, occupied it, and ended up killing hundreds of thousands of civilians and setting up a worldwide torture regime. You think maybe that's the fake news you should really be concerned about? No, they're not referring to that. They're only referring to any story that may have or may not have, because there's no evidence, damaged Hillary Clinton and made her lose the election. They can't own up to it. They can't own up to their failure, their failures, and they'd rather scapegoat and deflect and say, maybe we should have laws against fake news before we even do introspection. No, do the goddamn introspection. Even the Republicans were better at it than you. When they lost in 2012, they at least released an autopsy report. Hey, here's why we think we lost. The Democrats are like, well, no, there's nothing to say here. Everything is great. Everything is hunky-dory. By the way, let's ban fake news. Now, look, if he's talking only about, like, Facebook and Google and whoever else, they should, I don't know, tweak their algorithms so that actual more credible news sites rise to the top, I get that. And you're never going to get an argument from me that, you know, what, InfoWars and Reuters are equally fake. My ass cheeks. InfoWars has way more bogus bullshit on there. So I get it if he's talking about, okay, just the algorithms of Google and Facebook, do your thing and don't be stupid. Whatever, that's fine. But I'm afraid they're going further because now this has been a sustained week of a full court press, including Hillary Clinton's speech of fake news, 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 fake news. And now he's saying, hey, yeah, some say it's a slippery slope. I say let's go down that slope. I say let's not. And I say you're supposed to be the party of liberal values. You're supposed to be the Democratic Party, the more liberal party. Liberal values means you abide by free speech even when the going gets tough. You abide by, you know, a free press. You abide by all the rights that are in there, protection from cruel and unusual punishment, protection from unreasonable search and seizure. But they've given up on that long ago. Now they're just a sad, lost party that's a shell of its former self, that's trying to hang on to power by any means necessary, and they do nothing but represent the establishment. And this is why they keep losing, and this is why they're so sad, and this is why they're so pathetic, and this is why, even though Donald Trump is appointing the fucking swamp like Goldman Sachs people and ExxonMobil CEO, ExxonMobil CEO is Secretary of State, even though he's slapping us all in the face, the Democrats are so broken down as a party and a movement that I think their outlook for 2020 is worse than Trump's, and that's saying a lot. Okay. All right. I think that I've got to take a quick break. But when we come back, we have one of the points that conservatives made in support of the Dakota Access Pipeline has been utterly and completely obliterated. And the Supreme Court rejected a death penalty case that they're fucking crazy to reject. And when I give you the details of it, you're going to see why we just can't have the death penalty anymore. It's an abomination, and this story explains exactly why. Stay right there. Thank you.
you with the left, the left. You will fake so then bone drop you with the left, the left. I feel like I'm the left, real nigga left, the left. It's like I'm on an island by myself, the left. Please don't make me slap you with the left, the left. You will fake so then bone drop you with the left, the left. I feel like I'm the left, real nigga left, the left. It's like I'm on an island by myself, the left.
All right, we're back, bitch.
All right. That was the jam back in the day. I think that song came out like the year I was born. Let me see. Straight up. Now, come on, bitch. Now tell me. Why am I? I'm typing with one hand. That's why it's taking forever. Hold on now. Let's see. 88. That's right. That's fucking crazy, son. That song was released the year I was born. 28 years ago. Good googly moogly. That was the jam, though. Too bad. She was a one-hit wonder, huh? I don't know any other Paula Abdul songs that were. Definitely none were that catchy. Anyway, all right. Let's talk a little bit about the Dakota Access Pipeline, or the cousin to the Dakota Access Pipeline. What happened with that? One of the points conservatives have made in support of the Dakota Access Pipeline is it's just a pipeline. Get over it. I mean, there are a lot of them all over the place. Who cares? It's a pipeline. They're safe. That's it. So, you know, that's the sense you get from a lot of people who haven't followed the ins and outs of this thing. Well, listen to what happened over the weekend. This is journalist Michael McLaughlin reporting here. He says, about 150 miles from where thousands have protested for months that the Dakota Access Pipeline could threaten a Sioux tribe's water supply, a pipeline in the western part of North Dakota has spilled more than 130,000 gallons of oil into a creek, state official said. In all, the Belle Fourche, however you pronounce that, pipeline, lost 4,200 barrels of crude oil, or more than 176,000 gallons, before operators shut it down. Yeah, that's right. So for those of you who don't know, let me break it down for you. This actually happens all the goddamn time. There are relatively small, like this is a relatively small spill, but it ain't small for the people who are living there and the people who are directly involved with it and the people whose fucking water supply gets poisoned. So this happens all the goddamn time. There was even an explosion during the Dakota Access Pipeline protests. There was an explosion at a different pipeline as the oil company was making the argument, it's totally safe, don't even worry about it. There was a giant explosion at another pipeline. So, but look, that none of that should be the main argument anyway. I mean, the main point against it was, despite the propaganda, yes, this does infringe on their land. They were going to run it through, I believe it was Bismarck, but in Bismarck, people were like, where it's mostly white people, they were like, yeah, we don't want that pipeline here. It's going to be problems. And then the oil company and the government was like, yeah, okay, let's anyway quickly run it like through this native land and threaten their water supply, and then everything will be cool. No. They don't want it, and they were crystal clear about that from the beginning, and the fallout with the protest. I mean, you want to talk about some ugly pictures that were taken? You've seen the pictures from the protest. It's amazing. I mean, it's almost like you're recycling the fucking history of Native Americans in America, where you have, like, Native Americans in America. Yeah, no shit. Where you have, like, you know, lines of not just police, but, like, oil police, oil security, lined up in full uniform with their fucking masks on and their clubs and their weapons, and then you see, like, Native Americans praying. Like, one Native American praying, calling for peace and calling for safe water, and, ooh, how unreasonable! So, Obama, thankfully, denied the last easement, which basically shut down the pipeline, but they're going to try to get tricky, they're going to try to get cute, and they're going to try to, you know, keep this thing alive, and of course, now they have an administration that's coming into power that is super duper duper on the side of the oil companies. It's not even close. So, you know, Donald Trump, he'd probably approve Keystone XL pipeline on day one. He'd probably approve, you know, Dakota Access pipeline on day one also. I mean, this is stuff to him that's like whatever. But there are issues with, like, investment. So, you know, certain companies who are investing, they realize they're now losing a lot of money on it. And it, so who knows? The future of it is up in the air. But now you can see that it's not, like, it's not being against, like, a pipeline or fracking. It's not like this hippie liberal, like, oh, we care so much about the environment, and oh, we're only doing this because we want to, like, free the pigeons, bro. No, 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 no. It's much, much deeper than that. Just to give another example on the fracking point, first of all, there's been now 1,000 studies that have shown, I made up that number, but there's been many studies that have shown earthquakes drastically increase when you do fracking. Oklahoma's been rattling like a motherfucker because they've been fracking like nobody's business there. So it increases earthquakes massively. And yes, there's so much evidence it poisons water supplies. I mean, you had the famous videos now all over the place of people lighting their tap water on fire because they're close to a fracking site, and the runoff of all the toxic, poisonous, flammable chemicals, carcinogenic chemicals too, goes into the water supplies. People have had to move as a result of that. So it causes earthquakes. It pollutes the ground because you're pumping terrible chemicals into the ground, and it potentially poisons water supplies and has poisoned many water supplies. You got to come up with a better method if you're going to do it, but honestly, the smarter way of doing it is just to wean our way off of fossil fuels. Instead, we're still going full speed ahead down this path. So it's a disaster, and now you can see it's not – the protesters have a goddamn point. They're not just out there because, you know, they got nothing better to do on a goddamn Sunday. So this is an important story. People should know about this story. And you should get the sense that the specific reasons the protesters were out there are kind of verified by a bunch of different events that have been going on around the country with other problems with other pipelines. Okay. The Supreme Court just rejected a new death penalty case, and as a result of that, an innocent man might die. So thanks again, Supreme Court. Stay classy. So the guy's name is Henry Cerecchi, and Justice Stephen Breyer fought for him, but he ultimately lost. So Huffington Post explains here about Henry. They say, Henry Cerecchi has been awaiting execution since 1976. When he was convicted of the murder of a used car salesman. In their Supreme Court petition, his lawyers argued that Florida's refusal to grant Cerecchi a new trial based on newly discovered DNA evidence that may exonerate him violated his constitutional right to due process of law. Oh. So stop and think about that. The dude's been on death row since 1976. There's an argument that spending 40 years on death row in and of itself is, quote, cruel and unusual punishment, which is banned under the Eighth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. But beyond that, they're saying right here, he was refused a new trial even though he may be not guilty based on newly discovered DNA evidence that may exonerate him. They have new DNA evidence that may exonerate him, and the court's like, thanks, but no thanks. We're going to pass on that. You need to die. This story right here, this is the argument. This is the perfect, quintessential, the epitome of the correct argument as to why you can't have the death penalty. Because you're going to run into idiots who hear that there's new DNA evidence that may exonerate a guy, and they go, no thanks. Die. This is somebody's life you're talking about here. You might kill a guy, and there's new evidence that says he didn't do it. And you're not even willing to hear him out in court with the new evidence. So this is why you can't have it, because what if that DNA evidence does exonerate him? And then what if you put him to death anyway? Well, then that means that you're the murderer, plain and simple. That means the death penalty system just killed an innocent man. So the death penalty system just murdered somebody. And last time I checked, by their logic, if you murder somebody, you should get the death penalty. So then the death penalty system would get the death penalty. That's the paradox of the death penalty that you can't escape. If you get even one innocent person, you don't get a mulligan, bitch. You just killed an innocent person. That's murder. So you have to change the system to accommodate for that. Now, we also discussed a story yesterday about in Alabama on Thursday, they killed a guy and they did the new lethal injection, the new drug cocktail. Well, what happened with the new drug cocktail? The first drug doesn't work as well as the first drug worked in the old drug cocktail because Europe, a company in Europe made it and they stopped selling it because they don't want to kill anybody anymore. So the guy, they say, he may have felt like he got burned alive because they give him the sedative didn't work that well. Then they give him the paralytic, so he's paralyzed, but he still feels everything, but he's paralyzed. Then they give him the drug that kills him. So he could be in excruciating pain, and you wouldn't know because he's paralyzed. Oh, no. That's like the worst-case scenario. That's like everybody's nightmare. Like, oh, I can't move and express to you that I'm in excruciating pain, but I'm in excruciating pain. With this drug cocktail, there have been stories of people foaming at the mouth. They gave somebody this drug cocktail, and then they called off the execution minutes after they did it. What? They say, yeah, no, he was reeling. He's sitting there. He's sitting there like that, and they're like, I guess we'll call it off. And then eventually, like 20 minutes later, he died. But that was 20 minutes of excruciating pain because the drug cocktail doesn't work. And the fucking Supreme Court still won't intervene and say, hey, maybe this is cruel and unusual. If that's not cruel and unusual, then literally nothing is cruel and unusual because you're torturing somebody before you kill them. The idea that anybody would say, I don't think that's cruel. Well, then you're an idiot, because what would be cruel? You're torturing somebody before you kill them. I don't know. If that's not cruel, there's nothing that's cruel. I mean, because what could be worse than that? That's as bad as it gets. But the Supreme Court is still sitting around, and it's, again, majority conservative court, and this is what you get. So at least Stephen Breyer's fighting for him, but that's not enough. Stephen Breyer said for the longest time, like, look, why are we being stupid? Yes, it is cruel and unusual to fucking kill people. It's unusual by definition because we are one of the only modern nations that still kills people. We are in the minority in the world. Most countries in the world don't have the death penalty anymore. So that's unusual, and it's cruel because, yeah, you're killing somebody. So this is sick, man. You have new evidence that might show this guy's innocent. They're not even going to give a new trial. They're just going to kill him. That's why you can't have the death penalty, because human beings are fallible, and we don't always get it right, and this is the result. Okay. The government-run Global Times in China ran an anti-Trump article, and they are really, really unhappy with him. So, among other things, they said this, quote, in the field of diplomacy, he is ignorant as a child. China needs to launch a resolute struggle with him. Only after he's hit some obstacles and truly understands that China and the rest of the world are not to be bullied will he gain some perception. I think they meant to say perspective, but they said perception. Yeah. I have many things to say about this. So... What are they specifically mad over? The call with Taiwan. Now, I've heard different variations of that story. Some people say, oh, he called Taiwan. Others say, no, the president of Taiwan called him. For those of you who don't understand the politics and the backstory behind this, Taiwan, China claims Taiwan is a province of China. They say, no, you're part of us. And Taiwan's like, meh, that's what you say. We say we're independent and we really like you. So there's this kind of political struggle that's been going on for a long time. And it was customary for U.S. presidents to not treat Taiwan as its own entity. And they wouldn't call the fucking leader of Taiwan or accept a call because you only talk to China. That's basically the idea behind it. Trump breached that. Now, again, he claims, well, they called me, and it was a short call, and they just said, hey, congratulations on winning, and he said thank you, and then that was that. But China's really pissed about that. Now, I have mixed feelings on it because on the one hand, do I care that he took a phone call potentially from Taiwan and said thank you? No. No, not at all. The reason why I'm mixed on it is that the other angle of it, which is there were reports that he may have done that because he had somebody from his business call them because he wants to get involved in the hotel business in China. That's a problem, because then your personal business is getting involved in international politics and sparking an international crisis, and you shouldn't even have personal business there. You shouldn't have business, period, now that you're president of the United States. You're going to be president of the United States. That's not a thing anymore. You got to step aside with that bullshit, okay? So that's like the same kind of shit we went after Hillary for, and it's just as bad when he does it. So, but putting aside the business angle of it, which I'm totally against, if it was just he took a call from Taiwan, yeah, I'd tell China to go fucking take a hike. Now, I get it. People say, well, they're our number one trading partner, and if you piss off them, that's bad news, really bad news for the economy and for trade. I get it, but on the flip side, it's a fucking phone call from Taiwan. Like, what are they, a jealous girlfriend? Get the fuck over it. It's not like we took the phone call and then we're like, okay, so deal, we're going to do $78 billion worth of business with you starting tomorrow. Sound good? Like, now, what are we? Is this official? Can you give me a hand job behind a Denny's? Like, no, it's a fucking phone call. Get over it. And then the part that really pissed me off was, so I agree with them when they say he's as ignorant as a child when it comes to diplomacy. Totally. But then they say, he needs to understand that China and the rest of the world are not to be bullied. But hold on. He ain't bullying anybody on this front. He's bullied people before, and I'm against it. When he banned all Muslims, deport all undocumented immigrants, I'm against the actual bullying. It ain't bullying to take a phone call, bitch. In fact, you're bullying him, because in the state-run newspaper, you're running an article where you're fucking peppering him with all the fucking child, ignorant child, you don't know anything about anything, and diplomacy, and we're not to be bullied. And they literally threatened before, like, oh, how about if we cut off the flow of your Apple products? Don't do that. I don't want you to do that. But they say, like that's a threat, and that's actually bullying. Whereas Trump just took a phone call, and they're like, we're not to be bullied, but now we're going to bully you. You're bullying. This is bullying. And then now it gets goofy, because here's what else they did. They filed an official complaint with the U.S. government. That's the saddest thing I've ever heard. He took a phone call from Taiwan. They're like, oh, yeah, we're filing an official complaint with the correct authorities. I need you to get over it. Like this honor culture of, like, you have besmirched my honor by talking to somebody I didn't want you to talk to. Like, what is this? So what are we, in fucking high school? These are world leaders, and we're acting like we're in high school? And then here's the part that is really bad. They also sent missiles and bombers to their disputed territory in the South China Sea. Oh, boy. So, look, here's my overall breakdown of this is I'm somewhat sympathetic to Trump because if you're just taking a phone call, if it's for business reasons, fuck you. You're wrong, and you shouldn't have done it. But if you just took a phone call because the person called you to wish you, you know, hey, good job, okay, I'm not mad at you, and I think they need to get over it. But having said that, he's got to be smarter, because I don't think he's that smart of a guy. I don't, and I don't know why I'm saying that as if it's like people are surprised to hear it. You guys have known I've always thought this about Trump. He's really not that bright. And so as I've always said, like even when I agree with him on like TPP stuff, I'm against TPP, I'm against NAFTA, I'm against the trade deals, I think to myself, okay, good, I'm with you. But do I trust you to be smooth enough and savvy enough and smart enough to renegotiate those deals in a way that doesn't piss off our allies and to not spark a trade war? The answer is fuck no. And this is the kind of thing I'm sensing from China, where, oh, he's going to be Mr. Tough Guy and crack down on China. Judging by their reaction from this, they ain't going to respond in the way you want them to respond. They're going to hurt you. They're going to pull the rug out from underneath you, and not just you, it's going to be the American people. Because you cut off certain business ties between us, or you limit the exporting of certain goods, and all of a sudden the entire country is fucking super pissed. Super pissed, and rightfully so. So we're in uncharted waters here, and it's a scary, scary thing to see. Part of me is sympathetic to Trump because it's so stupid that they get all butthurt over a phone call. But then the other part of me is like, dude, pump your brakes. You got to be smarter, because if you're not smarter, yeah, there's going to be real-world economic consequences to your nonchalant actions. Okay. Now we go to televangelist Jim Baker.
and his merry band of idiots. Televangelist Jim Baker had on End Times pastor Tom Horn, and he brought a giant bucket of crazy for us.
He set a date 300 years ago. He said, this will all happen, the Messiah will arrive, the end times will begin in the Jewish calendar year 5777. The rabbis have held that dear to them since then. What is that? That's 2016 to 2017. Messiah will arrive. Now, they're looking at Donald Trump. One of the rabbis illustrated how his name in the gematria, the numerology of his name, actually means Messiah. Now, there's some weird stuff here that's going on. So think about this for a moment. I think that the smart ones in Israel are looking at him right now. They're saying he is God's, what we would call John the Baptist. He is God's messenger. When he takes over in January, there is a 5777 countdown to the appearance of the Messiah, and something could happen overnight that could lead to the reconstruction of the temple.
Do I even need to do commentary on this one? I don't feel the need to. I mean, these people have lost their goddamn minds. Look at what he's talking about. Trump means Messiah when you look at the numerology of it. Or you just made that up because whoever did that was fishing for that answer, because you're goofy authoritarians and theocrats who want to believe that whenever your side wins, it's part of this grand plan. Trump's like John the Baptist. Trump is God's messenger. No, but what this shows you is there's not a single person on their side who could win where they wouldn't say this. Because look at Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a guy who looks like he's got a fucking meerkat on his head, looks like a wig, a goofy blonde wig. He's like this bloated billionaire, super impulsive and thin-skinned. I mean, just has a history of contradicting himself like nobody's business, went bankrupt 6 times as he claims to have an awesome business record, born with a silver spoon in his mouth, a guy who had appeared in 2 softcore porns, with Playboy at the beginning. He wasn't actually fucking, thank God, or fake fucking, as they do in softcore porn. This is a guy who, if a Democrat had his record, are you kidding me? They would call him the Antichrist. But Trump had that record, and they're like, we think he's God's messenger. And I always find it hilarious, they're like, how narcissistic they are. Because it always comes out, us in Israel, us in Israel, us in Israel, U.S. in Israel, everything, all the prophecy, all the God's messengers and this and that, they've never once said, you know, this vice president in Trinidad and Tobago, he's sent from God. It's never somebody from Greenland, it's never somebody from fucking, I don't know, you pick a place, Argentina. It's always like, no, it's U.S. and Israel. Oh, duh. I mean, we're the special ones, right? No, you're narcissistic fools who are projecting onto the facts of reality your ridiculous fundamentalist religious ideology. He also went on in there to say, Trump's bloodline, there's people right now tracing his bloodline back to King David. No, they're not. They might pretend to be doing that, but nobody's doing that. That's not true. That's nonsense. And it's just a heaping pile of fucking horse shit every time they talk, and people eat it up. I don't know how, it scares me that that still catches on. Because then these are the same people who want us to take their ideas seriously on economic policy. They're the same people who want to have a say about the social safety net and who want to have a say about which countries we should start wars with. This magical voodoo fundamentalist thinking needs to go away. And he also argued at one point, you didn't see it there, but the Israelis, the Orthodox Jews there, think that Trump is a sign from God. He's a messenger of God, but they're ushering in end times. And this guy thinks Jesus is going to return very soon. Again, everything to them is non-falsifiable, man. John Hagee, a very famous evangelical preacher, who we've covered on the show before. He claimed the end of the world was coming in, 2014, was it, or 2013? Maybe 2015, the latest. A date that already passed. He's still out there doing his thing. You just predicted the end of the world and the return of Jesus, and you were wrong. And he just comes out the next day like, anyway, let me see you read the gospel for you guys. It's what? There's never any accountability. They get away with anything. Guys, they're scam artists. They're hucksters. They're full of shit. They're con artists. You got to wake up to this. Snap out of it. Believe that which is true, not that which these clowns want to emotionally manipulate you into believing to be part of their cult. Okay. I am donezo for the day. Love you, baby. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Mwah. We'll see you then, everybody. Peace.